Hey, welcome back to RM Podcast FL. This is your favorite podcaster, Romina. I hope everybody is having a fabulous Tuesday. And if you are listening this episode any other day but Tuesday, well, guess what? I hope you have a fabulous day as well. I'm super duper excited for today's interview. I did actually announce it on the Instagram page. And if you are yet to follow us on Instagram, go ahead and do so under RM Podcast FL. Well, today's guest is Michael Lane. Michael Lane is the man behind Success Resources. Success Resources, it is the world's leading seminar promoter with over 10 million attendees, and they organize over 500 events per year. Cool fact, if Success Resources was to record every conference and actually put them on a footage, that would have over 104 years of footage. I mean, that is a lot, you guys. Michael, he is mostly in charge of the Australian Success Resources, but just like he explains on the interview, his time is about 40-60, meaning 40% in Australia and 60% in the global rest of the Success Resources, as they do run into about 35 countries. They did start 25 years ago, and their motto is to be your learning partner. I have been only at two of their conferences. The first one was last year in Orlando, Florida, and the second one in Atlanta, Georgia. And I have to definitely say that both were very affordable, and both of the conferences were very educational. So without losing any time, let's jump into this interview with Michael Lane. I'm very excited, as Michael is honestly one of the most down-to-earth people that I've ever met. He is very willing to help you. I ran into him in Atlanta, and actually it was through Instagram, because I used the hashtag NAC19, the hashtag that they use for the conference, and he liked one of my pictures, which I was like, okay, well, let me check his website. Once I checked his website, came to find out that he was the person on the backstage with all the speakers, so I got a little intrigued. I went ahead and messaged him, did some research, and yeah, he is the man behind Success Resources, which I'm super duper excited about this interview. He started from just being like the basic entry guy while back, and now he's the man behind the mastermind. So let's all learn from his experience, and I hope you guys really enjoyed this interview as well. And don't forget, you can always find us on iTunes, Spotify, Stitcher's Radio, YouTube, Podbean, and www.rmpodcastfl.com. I hope you guys enjoy it.
So first and foremost, Michael, I definitely want to thank you so much for taking your time and joining me on this interview.
You're welcome. Thank you for inviting me.
Absolutely. I know we kind of virtually met through the conference in Atlanta.
Yes.
I was like, who is this guy? This is awesome. And then the more I got to know him, I was like, oh my God, like I really want to connect with him.
Thank you.
So for everybody, tell us a little bit, like young Michael to nowadays, if you can do a little bit walkthrough, tell us about your life.
Yeah, wow. Well, there's a lot to discuss. Look, I think from an early age, at about eight, I started to get the entrepreneurial bug. I do believe the entrepreneurial bug taps you on the shoulder. I don't believe you wake up one day and go, today I want to be an entrepreneur. So from the age of eight, I started looking at, you know, Rob Report magazines, fast cars, jets, boats. And while my friends were there getting comic books and NBA mags and all those kind of things, I was like getting boat magazines. And I was fascinated how people were able to afford and live their life at a different level. I had no concept of really money or those kind of things. I just knew there was a small portion of the planet who had some really cool stuff. And I thought that was exciting. So that stuck with me from the age of eight all the way up to school. I went to a school where a lot of my friends and a lot of the people I went to school with they had very wealthy families. Okay. I did not come from a wealthy family. My parents really struggled to get me a phenomenal education. Although I didn't capitalize on the education, I did learn a lot about entrepreneurship through my friends' parents. Okay. You know, silly stuff like on the holidays, you would take a friend's private jet to another friend's third house somewhere on a beach. And it was like, what? This is crazy. So it fueled the fire. And by the time I left school, I did not have the grades to go to college. And I started selling. I thought, how can I go out there and get a return on my time? And the best way that I know, the only way I knew was to sell. So I started selling. I started figuring out a process. You know, I think it's really important to have a sales process and to have a system that you follow. For about a year, I did not have a system. I did not have a process. And I would go into a sales opportunity and I would fumble. It would be all over the shop. And I'd come out at the end of the month going, I made no money this month. What's going on? How come that dude made money and how come I didn't? There's got to be a system or process I need to learn. So, you know, fast forward, you know, some 9-10 businesses later, some of those failed fantastically, if you could describe it like that. But I learned a lot, and fortunate to have a company today that, you know, does some pretty cool stuff. We do some big events around the world. We work with some cool people. But more importantly, we have a pretty big impact on millions of people per year. So there's my quick snapshot journey to where we are today.
I love how you're so so like down to earth at the same time, because you say, yes, we do impact people, but we're talking about successful resources. Like, you guys have impact up to 10 million attendees. I pulled up some stats and I looked at, you guys have about 104 years worth of recording. That's amazing. Yeah. So it is global and you oversee the Australian portion of it.
Look, yeah, my day-to-day running is the Australian arm. I'm a director of the global company. I'm a shareholder of the global company. Outside of Australia, I also run and manage a lot of the new development, new business, new strategy. For example, Grant Cardone, Gary Vee, those kind of relationships I've built. And while I do sit in the Australian office, probably 40% of my time is in the Australian office.
I
60% of my business and what I do daily is focused on global expansion. So, yeah, it keeps me busy.
How did you get started with Successful Resources, if you don't mind me asking?
Absolutely. When I was 23, again, I was working in sales. I was actually working in a car dealership. Oh, and
done that.
it's a long way from personal development. But my friend invited me to an evening event. And he said, hey, they're going to talk about success and all those kind of things. I'm like, they're not going to talk about success at an evening event. But I was interested because I was like, I can't keep doing what I'm doing. So I went along, maybe not as a willing participant as some of the participants we have today, but within 3 minutes, I was like, this is it. I get it. This is for me. So I did what most people do. I ran to the back of the room. I signed up for the program. I was all in. And that was my journey. So I was age 23. That was back in 2003. And within sort of 3 or 4 months, I started working for that company. Someone said, hey, do you want to come and work and do sales around success? And I was like, hell yeah, that sounds like a bit of fun. Little did I know that it was a commission-only role. It was selling people that I really had never heard of. Now, at that time, I'd never heard of Tony Robbins. I'd never heard of Brian Tracy, all those kind of people. So I hadn't heard of them before. But I got in there, and for the first 3 months, because I was just working on the phone selling, first 3 months, I made zero money. Like, I don't mean a little bit. I mean zero. So that's when I kind of had to sharpen the saw again and go, huh, I need to figure out the sales process for this, and I had to hone my skills again. So that was 2003. 2009, I invested in the business and came to a point where I was now one of two shareholders. So I was the minority shareholder at the time. And yeah, since 2009, I've been in a leadership and management capacity. And then if you fast forward to 2009, I'm now the managing director of Australia, but also the director of the global business with 250 staff.
That is amazing. And I know you guys currently have Grant Cardone, Gary Vee, up conferences. And I saw online that you guys are all sold out, which that's amazing for the cities. How do you get these two amazing people together? Like, how do you manage that?
It wasn't easy, but this is the importance of building a brand. You know, Gary's very big on building brand. And with us, we've done 25 years in this business. We've been adding lots and lots and lots and lots and lots of value to a lot of people. That built up us as the go-to company. If you want to educate yourself, you go to Success Resources, and we're proud of that. That's allowed my role to become a lot easier. Now, 5 years ago, it wasn't as easy as what it is today. Uh-huh. If I wanted to knock on someone's door like Gary Vee or Grant Cardone, they would go, "Success who? Who are you?" Now, there's not too many people I can't knock on their door and they go, "Oh, yeah, yeah, I've heard of you guys. That's, yeah, yeah." So that makes it a lot easier, but it took 20 to 21 years to do that. So, you know, with Gary, we've been doing business now. This is our fourth year. Grant, we're now into our first year, full year with Grant. And we've just had him. We had him in the US last year. We've had him in Asia this year. He was just texting me a minute ago. He's landing back in Australia in the next hour or two. And then we do some cool stuff with him next week. So, look, it wasn't easy, but you know, you've got to find a way to grab these guys' attention. And, you know, we've got a story now and a brand that allows us to grab that attention.
So I love Grant myself. I worked car sales a while back, and his books were some of, like, and his ideas were some of the greatest ideas I've got during car sales. And then working door-to-door sales and inside sales. So I've been in the sales field for a while. What would you say, though, that I feel like the energy whenever Grant is on the stage, because I've seen him on stage, it's a whole different energy. Mm-hmm. Like, what do you think where do you think people find this energy from? Because you have a lot of energy in you, too. Where do you find it from? Yeah. Where does it come?
It's got to come from your purpose. You can artificially manufacture energy. You can go, okay, right now I need to get in state. Tony Robbins talks about you can actively move your body in a particular way to energize yourself. With Grant, there's this passion to help and give back. Now, I was fortunate enough to be at his 61st birthday in Miami, mm-hmm. and I'm sitting there, we're on a 250-foot yacht out in Miami, champagne, dancing, drinks, there's 200 probably 100 people on this yacht. And I'm like, man, you've got the energy of a 20-year-old. You're 61. I'm like, he's like, I'm just grateful. I'm proud. I'm excited. I'm ambitious. I'm aspirational. And I take my hat off to someone like that. You know, you're 61. You've got a $1 billion real estate portfolio. The interest being offset from that for him, he doesn't need to work ever again. He doesn't need to make an active income ever again. Exactly. His property portfolio offsets enough interest paid monthly that he would never have to work an active income ever again. But this is a guy who, that's not that important to him. What's important to him is his mission, his values, and being able to touch and impact as many people on the planet as possible. So I've seen that. I've seen that passion in his eyes. And here's another example of that, which I absolutely admire and respect. I mean, He brings his family everywhere he goes.
True.
He bought a $50 million jet to take that family and go all around the world and have an impact. Now, I deal with a lot of celebrities. I deal with a lot of people who they have, you know, they want to do this stuff, but they go, I need you to pay a huge fee and I need you to pay for my jet and all this. When I spoke to Grant about it, and I said, look, dude, let's do this. But, you know, if it's really important to you, it's not all about the money. It can't be about the money. And he's like, I said, like, you got to get your own way there. You got to figure this out yourself, right? And he goes, don't worry. I'll pay for the jet. I'll pay for the fuel. Now, to give you an idea, just to fly to Australia and back is $250,000 just in gas.
Goodness.
So that's a huge commitment to his vision and his purpose, not to mention purchasing a $50 million jet. So this is the stuff I love. I love working with people who put people over profits. and Grant's that kind of partner. So it's a blessing to work with someone like that.
And that is very true, though, because even on, like, not grand level, everybody, like, even lower level or even somebody trying to get to grand level, if you have that passion in you, I feel like you're going to keep going and there's nothing that's going to stop you.
Yeah. Like, and I think young people listening to this, you know, find that passion as early as you can. I mean, I fully respect you for being able to do what you do, get on, you know, have a podcast, grow your brand, become an influencer, become an expert at the age you're at. That's what more young people need to do, because that's what's going to make a difference. That's what they're going to tap into. Grant has candidly said at the age of 50, he had no money behind him. He had challenges. He had problems. The GFC hit him hard. The inspirational thing for you, me, and everyone listening to this is, that was 10 years ago.
Yeah.
If you're listening to this and you can go, wow, maybe one day I could have a $1 billion portfolio. I could have a jet. Grant did that in 10 years. Yes, there's been 40 years of learning and lessons and all that, but that gives all of us hope that it doesn't have to take 50 years to build an empire. It can happen in 10 years.
You said building empire. I did read Elena's book on that, and she went a little bit more into details of, like, the struggles and everything. And I honestly, I think they're just such a power duo. It's like, I love them both. But I have another question. I know, like, you meet millions and thousands of people every conference. What did you say it's the reasons that some people fail, even though the formula is out there? It's like, I'm going to tell you what to do. I'm going to show it to you. Why do you think people still fail?
They don't truly commit to the outcome. They don't commit to what it's going to take. I think we're living in a world where there's everyone wants instant gratification. Mm-hmm. I speak to entrepreneurs every day. You know, we just had 20,000 people last week at our conference. People come up to me going, hey, you know, you guys are doing amazing things. You're so successful and all this. I'm like, dude, that took us 25 years. Like, everyone wants it in 3 years. And it's just so unrealistic. My thing when I talk to people is go, tell me your idea. Tell me what it's like. It's like, here's what I want to do. I said, how quickly do you think you can do it? I think it's no more than 5 years. I said, what if it takes you 20?
Yeah.
And they go, oh, no, you don't understand. This is the best deal in the planet. I say, cool. But what if it takes you 20? Would you still do it? And people go, oh, nah, look, I don't know if I'll do that for 20 years. Then you know what? It's not your passion. Because your passion is, I could do this for the rest of my life, whether I'm making 50 grand or 5 mil. That's when you know you found your passion. So why do I think people fail? They haven't truly identified their passion. If they have, they haven't truly committed to the long-term journey. They used to say that it was a 10,000 hours. Mm-hmm. You know, Malcolm Gladwell, Outliers book, very well known for documenting, you know, successful campaigns. He said it was 10,000 hours. Now, if you do the math, that could equal 10 years of hard work. I don't think that exists anymore. I think there's a lot more competition. I think there's a lot more people out there in all spaces and who are getting other people's attention. If you've got an amazing idea, product, business, sit down and go, would I do this for 20 years?
Yeah.
If you commit to that. Now, doesn't mean that your idea is going to be perfect for 20 years. You need to iterate, pivot, change things, do things. But if you're committed to a 20-year journey, I reckon you'll make it.
And that's why I asked you that question on your Q&A that you had the other day. I asked you the question. I said, if money was not an issue, what career would you choose? And you said, I would choose this because this is my passion. So once you find that passion, once you find that what you love, waking up in the morning and actually loving to go to work, then you're good.
Absolutely. For me, and I think I answered to you that if I somehow had a windfall of $1 billion,
yeah,
I mean billion in your account, liquid, no encumbrances, I'd still come in and do this every day because it truly is my passion. Yeah. That's a sign. And I would tell people and your listeners and go, look, if someone paid you $1 billion, what would you do? Because you got choices now.
Yeah.
And with choices, you'll start to go, you know what? I always wanted to do this. Well, you know what? That little exercise there of just going, if I had all this, what would I do? If you pick two or three things out of that, guess what? There's probably your passion in there. So the quicker you identify that, the better, the more harmonious, the more, you know, on your path you'll become.
All these conferences we have, I mean, I went to the conference myself in Orlando last year, and actually that was kind of like a little slap on my face and a little pat on the back. And I remember I got mad at Tony Robbins in my own head because I was like, no, that's not true. I'll do it. And then this conference, and I was like, he's right. I'm going to go to this conference. And like, he doesn't specifically know me in person, but I'm like, I feel ashamed because he told me to do this last year and change it, and I still haven't done it, and I haven't got results. Like, it just, this conferences, and I finally did it. So I was like, you know what? I'm going to start a podcast. I feel bad seeing Tony and not being held accountable. I was like, I'm just going to start it. But
I love that.
So what I know you see, you organize the events and everything, but what is a speech or what is a speaker that still every time they give an event, it still hits you. You still learn something different. You're just like, I'm even more pumped up.
Yeah, look, oh, there's so many in that category. Robert Kiyosaki, who wrote Rich Dad, Poor Dad. Yeah, every time I listen to him, and I've got a target now, every time I put someone on stage and I'm physically there, I want to spend at least half an hour in the audience consuming. Because for years I'd run hundreds of events and I'd be out the back, I'm putting out fires, I'm running a business. But I'm like, from now on, I need to dedicate. If I'm going to be there, I want to put some time and energy and effort in. Every time I sit down and listen to Robert Kiyosaki, I come out with something going, damn, I've put him on stage for the last 15 years. And somehow, some way, I didn't know that or hear that, or I wasn't ready to receive that. That's why consistency in your education is important. You know, I mean, I've done 1,200 events. I've heard a lot of speakers. I've heard Robert on stage 30 odd times. But last year I heard something that I'd never heard before. So consistency, being dedicated, even when you think you know it all, you don't. And it's time to sharpen the saw, get back in the, you know, in the trenches and continue to learn. So it's that, look, with Tony as well, it's the same. Tony's constantly evolving his technology and what he talks about. So every time I sit down and listen to Tony, it's kind of like, wow, I know Tony's work really well, but this is new stuff. Mm-hmm. So it's like, this is groundbreaking. And Tony is the type of person that he won't just go, well, I've been thinking about this and maybe I'll talk about it. No, if he's talking about it, you know he's put in the work, the research, the due diligence to go, bang, I can now talk on this from an expert level. So that's the importance of continuing to turn up. And I take my hat off to you. Last year in Orlando, this year in Atlanta, coming back and seeing the difference from at least two events, right? So, you know, if you don't have the means to come.
I remember, yeah, like I tried, because I work full-time sales and I go full-time to school. Like, I already have a busy schedule as it is, but I'm like, no, I want to do something better. So the last year I was like, I have to go to the conference. I have to. And I'm like, yeah, I just have to. Like, I just had this feeling in me. And this time, I live in Jacksonville, so I drove 6 hours to Atlanta just for the conference. I was like, I have to.
But that's great. That's the commitment, right? I know that when you drive 6 hours each way and you invest your time, invest your money, that you're going to get a greater return on investment than potentially someone who lived 5 minutes from the conference. Because you're like, I got to take time off work. I got to leave family. I got to find somewhere to sleep when I get there, right? That was that a two-day event? I think it was a two-day event, yeah.
It was, yes.
Yeah, so it was, that's a commitment. That's someone playing full out. Now, if you're listening to this, you don't need to come to every event. You don't need to drive 6 hours. You need to listen to this podcast every single week, right? You need to go find other people to listen to, and that consistency will build up that muscle and you'll start to get it. So, you know, I think that's great.
Thank you. Thank you for the compliment too. I really appreciate it. And my idea behind the whole podcast is I considered grabbing a coffee with somebody that started or their own and they're somewhere. So let's talk how you did it. Let's talk, what would you tell your kids to do to get to that level? Because a lot of people want that advice. And sometimes, unfortunately, the young generation, I feel like it's lazy to Google the answers or to search for it. They just want to listen to it, especially with so much commute. I'm like, this would be a great thing. Let's grab a coffee. At least learn one new thing. That's all it takes. One new thing, it stacks up and it'll be 100 real quick. And that's my idea behind the whole concept of the podcast.
So, I love it.
Thank you. So, Michael, tell me, what are you the most curious about now? What is Michael digging? What do you want to learn more about?
Yeah, look, the whole digital tech space is really got my attention. You mean traditionally we're a old school business, a seminar, it's a physical location. There are digital components to it. You know, we sell hundreds and hundreds and hundreds of thousands of tickets online in a digital format. But what I'm really excited about at the moment is, you know, we're taking a lot of our programs, and you mentioned at the beginning of this, the hundreds of hours that we have in content. And although you won't be able to see it exactly where you are there, but this is...
You guys have the app? Okay.
Yeah, which is not live to the public yet, but it will have hundreds and hundreds of hours of content from all over the planet.
That would be amazing.
If you couldn't make it to Orlando or you couldn't make it to Atlanta, then you can go, you know what? For a very small fee, I'm going to log in and either watch it live or watch it on demand later or have up to 30 days. Or if my subscription is long enough, then I can watch it forever. So being able to bring world-class education to all corners of the globe on any device at any time is really exciting for us. So that's getting my attention. We're working a lot on the digital component, the digital delivery, how you make the experience exciting. Now, we know that when you go to an event and you feel the energy, and when Tony's up there doing what he's doing, you can never replace that on a digital thing.
Correct.
However, if you can't geographically make it to every event, then on here you can get at least the same content, the same technology that somebody listening to the event. So that's what's really got my attention at the moment.
I love that idea. So I feel like people cannot use the excuse of anymore, I cannot make it to the conference, or I don't have the time. Like, you're on your phone looking at YouTube at silly videos. Why don't you actually look at something educational instead? Yeah. I love that idea. So it's like, I'm going to give you the formula and put all the information out there. Now take advantage of it.
Yeah. And look, I know fully that we can't charge as much as we need to charge for an event, because, you know, that event in Atlanta cost about $1.4 million. So I have to charge, although we don't charge, you know, very expensive. We made a decision a long time ago.
Not at all. The ticket.
How much did you pay for your ticket?
So I bought the ticket in early May, and it was me and my friend, because I used to live in Atlanta. So I was like, hey, we need to go to this conference. I was like, I'm going to buy both tickets. So it was $112 with taxes and everything for two tickets. And now we were gold. So we're like right there. And I was like, this is ridiculous how cheap it is. I was expecting more. And that was the same deal last year. Like last year, I remember it was buy one, get one free. So I was like, I have an extra ticket. Anybody want it? And everybody's like, oh, no, it's 2 hours drive. And I was like, okay, well, you're missing out. I'm going to go buy. But the tickets are not expensive at all, honestly.
No, that's by design. You know, many of our competitors who are out there charge, you know, thousands of dollars for a two-day event. You know, when you got Tony Robbins, Grant Cardone, Russell Brunson, Dean Graziosi, Kevin O'Leary, and you can have a ticket for $60.
Damon Johns was there too. Absolutely.
Damon John, that was a great event. That's why I went over for it, right? But we do world-class education at an affordable rate because we want the masses. Our business model changed. We had two countries about 11 years ago that were focusing, Singapore and Australia. We made a decision a long time ago to make this affordable and scale this globally. Okay. And to do that, we had to change our pricing from $1,000 plus to about $100. Now, you got a great deal, but even $100 to go spend 2 days with people like that is something that we're really proud of. It's something that, you know, allows anyone to be able to afford it. So that's something that we're proud of, and that's something that we're working on. I know that, you know, on here, then you might be able to get this education for $9.95.
Sign me up.
So that's the plan, right? We've gone from 2 countries to 30. Now want to go to 100 countries, and the best way to do that is digital. So that's why it's a huge focus for us right now.
So how would you say, because I know not every country, the technology in every country is different. Like I'm from Albania, and the technology is not as advanced as it's in America, in Albania. Like, is the app going to be accessible from every country, or would it have restrictions only to the countries that you guys currently have the events?
No, it'll be open to anyone who can download an app on Android or on iPhone. So, and if you've got Wi-Fi, I mean, if you've got access to internet, and I'm pretty sure there's at least 100 countries around the world who have internet, then you'll be able to access it, and you'll be able to access it at an affordable rate. It'll be approximately $9.95 US, which is a little bit more in some regions, a little bit less in others, but that's affordable.
Absolutely. Yeah, that is way more than affordable. Michael, I have a question. I know you have adorable family. I know when you posted a picture of your daughter, her eyes are just so cute. If you were to wake up tomorrow and find yourself being 90 years old and you look back, what would you wish you told your kids? Like, what would you wish your kids took from dad?
Look, I've asked myself this question a lot of times, and I work on this constantly. And it would be a fool of me to go through and learn all this and not sort of instill the principles and the theories with my kids. So my son is almost 8. My daughter's almost 2. My daughter doesn't recognize any of this right now, but my son, absolutely. So same thing I tell them every day is that you're amazing. You know, you can do whatever it is you want to do. Don't be limited by your thinking. Don't be limited by your friends' thinking. Whatever it is you want to achieve, you can do that. But it's going to take hard work, learning, education, and a constant attitude of never giving up. So I've instilled that since the age of 4. At the age of 4, I've been planting this. If you can have whatever you want, if you like that, great. Let's work out a plan to get there. But you're not going to just get given it.
Yeah.
We need to learn how to get that. You need to figure it out. So, you know, it's a constant, you know, education process. It's not like he's going to get to 13 and I'm going to go, here's the book of life and here's all of life's mysteries are solved. It's not that. It's every single day in the morning and the night telling him and doing things that he starts to pick up. And then the repetition gets to a point where it's like he gets it. So, for example, we do visualization before bed.
Okay.
We get in bed together and I go, close your eyes. And picture this, we're getting off a plane and we're going to an amazing location. And I say, Chase, what do you see when you're there? He goes, I see amazing houses and cars. I'm trying to find ways to make him dream, him visualize, his imagination come through fun activities. So at night now, even when I'm there, not there, he's like, Dad, I just did my visualization. We were here. We were having an amazing time. Sometimes you'll go, we were driving a really fast car and it was amazing. It was like a Ferrari. But these are all the little things that I want him to think about because success is very much built here.
Yeah.
What do we want? What do we foresee our future? How do we see what the impact we want to make? Now, at the moment, I'm making it fun for him. Where are we going? What are we doing? Who are we around? Is it family? Is it friends? Is it experiences? But as time goes on, I'm going to get him to go, what it is you want to become? What difference do you want to make? How do you see that? What does it look like? What does it feel like? So we've been doing the visualization for 2 years now. And these are the things that have helped me. And these are the things going to help him. So that's a constant, you know, I mean, this will be a 20-year journey with him.
That's amazing.
Positivity, reinforcement, visualization. You can have what you want as long as you work as hard as you can. If you give up, you're never going to have what you want. So this is a journey and we've started that, and I would recommend to any parent, do the same.
So, Michael, if you were to, visualization for you now, if you were to be on a stage with thousands of people and you're getting an award and your whole family is there, your loved ones, you're just getting an award. What award are you getting to make you feel fulfilled?
Look, I would love it to be an award around impacting humanity. Now, I have an ego, but I'm trying to dissolve my ego as much as I can. But it's not about me making the difference, having an impact personally. It's me behind the people who are delivering this. So I want to impact humanity through education, but I don't want to ever be on stage spruiking it myself. I want to be the one who went, wow, he had Tony, Gary, Grant, series of the most powerful people on the planet. And he was the one behind that who helped that impact. So from an ego perspective, it would be, I would love to be recognized for somebody who had a huge impact and changed the lives of leaders who then go on to lead and change the world for themselves and for their employees and their friends and family. So that's kind of my mission. I want to develop leaders because leaders change this planet. Now, unfortunately, we've coined this term of world leaders as politicians, which I truly don't believe are an authentic leader in this day and age or in the leadership that we need. So my great grand plan is developing world-class leaders who go on to make the world a better place. So it would be an award around something like that.
Nice. And I can see the passion because we have the video, but you can feel the passion just by, I want to get an award for helping others to improve themselves. Like it's such a selfish award that it's amazing. Thank you for sharing that. Before we do jump to the final question, the final question is always, what is your definition of success? Because I'm always intrigued what people have to say. It's different for everybody. We did touch base on people, why people have failed, even though you give them the tools and the awards. What did you think why people succeed and sometimes succeed even more? Is there a certain case scenario that you can pick up, maybe an attendee of your conferences that might have done for a couple of years and you kept in touch with them?
Yeah, look, I'm fortunate to have people who come to our events who implement what we teach and go build amazing businesses. Here's an example. The founders of Airbnb came to an event of ours.
Oh, wow.
I'm by no means are we taking credit in any capacity. But before they had launched that, they came to our event in California and now gone on to create an amazing business. I have dozens of stories like that. Dozens of people who have come and made a huge impact. So, you know, why do some people succeed more than others? They grab the information, they implement it daily. You know, I talked about my son. This will be a 20-year journey of implementing and stuff every single day. It's the same for the people who came and were successful. I mean, there's another good friend who's become a good friend, a guy now who he's got 5 companies that are listed on stock exchanges. He's about 40. He has a $900 million net worth. And he came to one of our events before he had anything. Now we're friends and we go on this journey together in some capacity. But if I look back, there's just this constant desire to serve, help, solve a problem. So if you're listening to this, what is your idea and concept? Is it truly solving a big macro problem? Or are you trying to solve a micro problem? And most people fail because they're trying to solve a micro problem of why they aren't successful, or why they don't have money. Put your attention on solving big global problems. And if you get that right, you go big.
That
most people are thinking too small and trying to solve a small problem, or they're thinking, I'm going to do this to make a lot of money. And that never works out.
I feel like if you're focused on the money, and I grew up with family having businesses their whole life, So, and I still was never spoiled. Like, if I ever wanted to go out, my dad would say, you want to go out? We need 2-week notice. We need you to come to the office, and we need you to write 10 emails. Like, it was things like that that I was like, but it's not fair because my friends are just going out. But looking back at it now, I'm like, I love it that you guys made me do that. So now I can better understand that I have to put the work to get the reward. I'm not just going to find it out there. And I feel like not a lot of people have that process. And that's one thing that I'm very passionate about. And I'm actually partnering up with a nonprofit here in Jacksonville, Florida. It's helping people that are, they need guidance whenever they're in crisis, meaning that because they might have lost a job, they need a better job, or people that need to just need the push and the hand to get better. So I'm going to be working more of the interviewing process and changing the mentality and having that positive energy injection in them so they can go out there and kill it on the interview. So that's what I'm very passionate about, to help out, because it's such a selfless thing and I'm not going to get money for it. But if I can help one person, it can help one family. And it's just a domino effect. So I can relate when you say that.
I love that.
Awesome. Well, Michael, what is your definition of success, if you can?
Yes. Well, I do have a definition. I do have a version. It's a 3-step system. I think once when we all start thinking about success, it's down to personal mastery. What can I make? What can I become? Who, you know, what can I achieve? What can I acquire? Which is one and a very simple version of success. When you achieve something of monetary value, goals, those kind of things, and you realize that it's the feeling you get from that dissipates over time, you start to realize that it's not about making money that makes you successful. So then you get to the second layer. The second layer is what's that feeling I get when I want to be successful? To me, step number 2 is happiness. So for me, I can honestly say I'm at step number 2, not 3, and I'll share 3 in a minute. But step 2 is, am I happy in life? For me, that's success. You know, I've got a little bit of money now. I've got a family. I've got all the things. I do what I love every day. I truly believe I'm happy, and that's what makes me successful. The third level, which Tony keeps reminding about, is true success is helping humanity at a global level. So if you have a think about that, level 1 is how much can I make? How much can I have? Trust me, go do that, and then you'll realize that's a small step. The second one is getting to a point of happiness that's not about the money. The third is, how is the feeling I get when I go help lots and lots and lots of people? That's happiness. That's success to me. So if you're listening, by all means, go achieve the first one. If nothing else, to prove to yourself it's not about that. The second thing is, get super happy and grateful with who you are, and be comfortable in your body, be comfortable with who it is you are, and be happy. Do the things you want to do. But now I'm at a point now I'm like, damn, I got all that. I want the feeling, because it's intoxicating, the feeling of helping others. Do you mean I started a charity initiative in our business just recently? The feeling I got from that on, we're helping thousands of people with mental health challenges. I know the feeling I get even now in my body about how I can contribute to that. That's taken my happiness to a whole nother level. So that's a long answer and maybe a little bit cryptic answer, but it's not a simple answer. There is no just simple answer for success. It comes down to happiness. But what is your happiness? So most people believe it's when I become successful, I'll be happy. It's just not the case. So they're my 3 kind of steps around success, which for me is happiness.
I love it, and I can relate to that. I would say I'm on the step number 3 through your process, if I follow your process for success, because coming to America at 17 by myself, seeing it's a roller coaster of life, seeing very highs, very lows. I made great money. I made no money. I can relate to both levels. But then once I start making amazing money for myself, I wasn't really happy. So I was like, it's not money. So let me find what Romina wants. And Romina's happy now. So I'm like, but I have too much. I want to give some. So I can fully relate to those three stages. And thank you for breaking it down. That is really, that is such a great thing. Thank you for breaking that down. Oh my goodness.
Welcome.
Well, I love the interview. I'm so hypered up, even though I had a long day. I'm about to get even more amazing stuff down a lot on my list. Any last thing that you'd like to add to the podcast, besides telling our listeners, of course, to subscribe to the station?
Yeah, no, absolutely. You guys should be listening to this, and you should be tapping into this as often as you can. I would even listen to this podcast, not just from an egotistical point of view, but all of your podcasts twice. You mean something happens when you continually listen to the messages. So I would recommend everyone listen to this, subscribe, do whatever you got to do to be around this, because the world needs you to become a leader. As I said earlier, for us to solve challenges and take our planet and our humanity to another level, we need to find world-class leaders. Entrepreneurs who become leaders do that. So thank you for doing what you're doing. I appreciate you being interviewing me and me being on your show. And yeah, I look forward to hearing more in the future.
Absolutely. And we actually have a lot of listeners from Australia too, which is amazing.
Well, I hope you guys really enjoyed this interview. I definitely enjoyed the conversation with Michael, and I learned a lot myself. I loved how he broke down the definition of success into three different steps, and we got into really good details about the visualization that he does with his son. I think that's an amazing activity to do with your kids, so I actually started doing that on my own, even though I don't have kids. I'm just doing it and just visualizing myself to a stage or to reaching my goals or maybe receiving the trophy that we all work towards. So I hope you guys really enjoyed it. Michael, again, thank you so much for taking your time and being a part of RM Podcast FL. And for you listeners out there, do not forget, we have new interviews every Tuesday. Every Thursday, we have life lessons and experiences and educational episodes. So thank you guys for investing this 1 hour to the podcast, and I hope you learn at least one new thing, because guess what, 1 + 1 + 1 + 1 to the infinity equals 100. So that's how you get 0 to 100. Well, you can also find us on iTunes, Spotify, Stitcher's Radio, YouTube, Podbean. And don't forget, if you have any questions, rmpodcastfl@gmail.com, as well as www.rmpodcastfl.com. Hope everybody has a great and amazing rest of the day.